Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
You can study the Bible and you can gain knowledge and you can speak with anybody at any level on the scriptures and you can totally miss salvation. You can miss the work of God in your life because salvation is not found in merely knowing the Bible. Antagonists who oppose the Bible study the Bible and know it very well because they want to develop their arguments against it. So it's not just about knowing the Bible. Salvation is found in Christ, the one the Bible points us to and describes and reveals. We have to have an active, real relationship with Him.
Nothing is more heartbreaking than meeting Jesus face to face and not knowing that it's Him. Today, Pastor Troy touches on the importance of knowing Jesus, not just knowing about Him. You can study the Bible and have an endless amount of verses memorized, but if it's not applied, it doesn't really matter. You can be the smartest person on the planet, but if you miss the work of God in your life, what's the point? See, salvation isn't found in how much you know, it's who you know. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 5 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
It is by grace through faith, and therefore there's always, he's there, he's pressing in, he's letting you know, he's speaking. But there's one step that needs to be made on your part, and that is letting Him. He'll do all the rest of the work. But putting your faith in Him gives a transformation, a transaction that takes place that you can never deny. Sometimes you weep, cry, and feel this overwhelming emotion. Maybe you're a person who didn't love a whole lot before, and all of a sudden there's this overwhelming love in your heart, and you're crying, I don't even know why. That's the experience. Don't ever forget it. Or God does something in your life and you go to the old places. You go back home, man, I know I shouldn't, but I'm gonna go with my friends. I just can't resist my cousin or my brother. And so you go and all of a sudden there's this weird conviction you didn't have before. Like, man, I'm uncomfortable here. I don't like it here. Where are these thoughts coming from? Don't forget it. The Lord is alive in you. And He's going to be doing a work in you. He's promised. Be faithful to do that. These things happen. If this is something you have no clue about in your own life, you understand it in theory, but you've never experienced it personally, I wouldn't find any security in that. Because those who God loves, He disciplines. And those who God fills, He chastens, He directs. And if you don't experience that, I would very seriously consider what my relationship with the Lord really is. But don't wait too long in all that considering. Life is brief. And there's an enemy. The closer you get to the Lord, the more He wants to destroy you. He wants to take your life. It'll be amazing the thoughts you start to think when you press in and get close enough to the Lord. You're right there on the verge. It's amazing. It's just crazy stuff you haven't thought of in years or thought about ever. And they start coming into your heart and your mind. Man, what is that coming into my mind for? Because we have a real spiritual battle. So remember that, too, when that happens. You heard about it first, right here. So don't be surprised, as the scripture says, over the fiery trial that takes you, because Jesus is real. And the signs are evidence. So believe because of what Jesus has done. In verse 37, and the Father Himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard His voice. Remember, he's talking to these religious leaders. You guys have never heard His voice at any time, nor seen His form. You haven't seen Him physically. But you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He sent, Him, you do not believe. He's saying this. You guys have had His word. You guys say you abide in His word, but His word isn't in you. I don't know what's in you, but He Himself is standing before you, the one He sent, and you're not receiving Him. Therefore, whatever it is you believe, it's not accurate. not right. You're not listening. And what shows that it's obvious that you're not right is you're not listening. So, another reason we should believe because of what God has decreed. Now, Jesus says, you haven't heard him audibly, you haven't seen him visibly, talking to this group. But there were some who God did speak to, and they heard, and their testimony was significant. There were times where God the Father spoke from heaven and said something that people heard, and it was written down for us to read in the Scriptures. One was at Jesus' baptism. At Jesus' baptism, you remember that when Jesus was baptized, it was unlike anyone else. When he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. The Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Any questions?" No, he didn't add that part. But that was for these guys. And there was testimony from people that said, "Wow, man, this was a different baptism." A second time was when Jesus went up to the mountain and there were three of his disciples with him. They were up there trying to figure things out. They were in awe that Jesus is transfigured and it looks like Moses and Elijah are there. And they're like, "Wow, this is really, it's just really cool to be here." And so they're in that stunned state, but they hear this voice kind of shake them out of this. And God from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Like, you're supposed to listen to him. And so God spoke, the Father spoke from heaven, giving validation to who Jesus was. This stuff got out, you know. I mean, Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded the baptism moment in their Gospels. So this was significant. So Jesus says, I call another witness to you, the Father. He has declared it too. He has said it. Now you guys haven't heard, you've studied the Scriptures, but obviously you don't understand them or you're not studying them properly because you're missing the one they all point to, like right here, me. And they missed him. So having the personal witness of those who had heard the Father bearing witness that the Son was certainly the Son of God was a strong case against those who said, "I love God, but don't believe in Jesus." And here was their problem. They studied the Scriptures. That's not the problem. The problem is that they studied the Scriptures for the wrong reasons. They studied the Scriptures for knowledge and rules. They constantly studied the Scriptures. They could tell you the regulations. If the Bible were a regulation book, they owned it. So they could tell you all the do's, don'ts, and they had added tons of other ones that weren't even in God's Word, the Scriptures. So they could tell you all the do's and don'ts, and they could also, they had knowledge. "Well, Rabbi so-and-so said, and in the Scriptures, and the Isaiah the prophet said," and they knew all of that stuff. So they sounded like they were scholars. But the problem was, they studied for knowledge, they studied for rules, and they missed the one that all of that pointed to. See, all of that was not to be studied academically. It was supposed to be studied relationally. Getting to know who Jesus is. Who is he? Who are we to look for? Where are we going to find him? Where's he going to be born? All of this stuff, they should have known. They could have gone, "That's him. There could be no other. It's you. The signs, where you were born, what you did, everything. It's you. There can be no one else." But they missed it because they were studying the wrong way. Like the individual who studies and they take, "Here's what I believe. Let me look in the Scriptures to prove it." If you skip a bunch of Scriptures and just find the ones you want, you can find lots of them and go, "See, what I believe is true." You can take half the Bible and prove what you think is right. You just have to throw out the other half. So it's no problem to say, here's what I believe and here's all the Scriptures to prove it. That's a dangerous way to try to prove something. What we need to do is let what we believe come from the Scriptures, not let the Scriptures validate what I have kind of come to believe. Because in there, you're going to have to do something they didn't do, and that is when a Scripture goes against or challenges what you believe, you have to hold on a little looser to what you're holding on to. Maybe you're not completely right when it's in the Bible. It keeps us balanced in the Scriptures, because some love to hold on to one phrase, one Scripture, one word, and run with it, and think they've got God figured out. And then you have another group that says, "Well, we're going to go the total opposite direction." And then Christians are warring and fighting with each other about things we really don't understand completely. So they studied the wrong way. And look what Jesus says about them. Verse 39, You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? In other words, you say you believe Moses and his writings, but he wrote about me. But because of the way you read the scriptures and study them, you only look for the laws and you miss the Lord. And because of that, when I come and I represent the Lord as the Lord, you miss me. You didn't see. You didn't get it. And you have no love in your hearts. You know why? Because you have law in your hearts. It's all about do this, don't do this for you. Do this, don't do this. If you do this, then you're good. And if you don't do this, then it's all about the law. But the heart of God is a heart of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, I am here. And I'm here standing right before you. And I'm not here to smite you or judge you. I am here. I want you saved. So believe in him, number four, because of what Scripture discloses. What Scripture discloses. They were all into Moses, the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. So Jesus' fourth witness is the Scriptures. So I bring that to you. And he says, if you don't believe the Scriptures, which all, if you read it, point to me and predict me. And if you don't read the Scriptures and find me there, it's no wonder you don't see me here, that you don't believe in me. You know, the Old Testament Scriptures pointed to Jesus, the coming of a Redeemer, all the way from the beginning. If they would have gone all the way back to Genesis, where all this started, they would have found that Satan was there in the garden and that God, the Father, said, hey, look, I'm going to bring a Redeemer, the seed of the woman. She's going to come. You're going to bruise his heel, Satan, but he's going to crush your head. And so we see this line focusing on a family, a nation, a group, until Jesus, the Redeemer, is born. They said, if you would have followed that the proper way, you would have been looking for me. You would have seen the prophecies that said he's going to be born in Bethlehem.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website. buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. He's going to be in from Nazareth. He's all of these things that point to me. If you would have seen that, if you would have taken that in, you would have to stand here right now and go, there can only be one. It has to be you. Oh, and with all the miracles, it sure looks like it is you. And they could have put their faith in him. Not only that, but there were witnesses. You need witnesses? I got witnesses. I don't need them, but you do. So here they are. And they still didn't believe. What makes things so difficult for people to believe is selfishness. Because God isn't all about you. God is about you letting go of you. And when we won't let go of us, it is very, very hard to hear him. One of the things that drives us away from the Lord more than anything is a focus on self. The religious leaders had focused on themselves. They had come up with a really nice gig. They had all the rules down. They had them memorized. No one else did. And they looked better. No one could look as good as them. They had it all down. Why change now? Then they're at the bottom just like everybody else. No. No, it's been too long. We've invested too much. And so we're sticking with this. We will not open our mind to anything outside of this. They become so selfish, taking in the scriptures, but interpreting them their own ways, making their own laws, doing their own things with them, so that when they're confronted with someone else, they say, no, this is the scriptures, this is the scriptures, but it was their own version, and they missed the Lord. So we look at the scriptures today, and we need to learn to read them for what they are. Let God speak to our heart through them. In the New Testament and the Old Testament, we see predictions. In the Old Testament, we see predictions of His coming. In the New Testament, we see what's going to happen after all of this. Even in the Old Testament, we see those things. Jesus is saying, if you don't take note of those texts that point to me and reveal to who I am, you're going to miss me. So guys, Christian, you can study the Bible and you can gain knowledge and you can speak with anybody at any level on the scriptures and you can totally miss salvation. You can miss the work of God in your life because salvation is not found in merely knowing the Bible. Antagonists who oppose the Bible study the Bible and know it very well because they want to develop their arguments against it. So it's not just about knowing the Bible. Salvation is found in Christ, the one the Bible points us to and describes and reveals. We have to have an active, real relationship with Him, but that relationship has to be based upon what the Scriptures reveal about Him, not on our own interpretation. See, that's why the religious leaders continue to have a relationship with God, but missed God, the Son of God. They missed Him. Knowledge doesn't save. A relationship with Him does. Now, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is not about how many times you've gone through the Scriptures. It's about how many times the Scriptures have gone through you. So you read a text, you read a scripture, you got knowledge. You know what happens when you put water into a barrel and you let it set for a long time? It stagnates. So that's what happens. The Bible goes into our life and it just sits there and stagnates. It does nothing. It can even cause bitterness and pride and arrogance and everything that's in our life because I know. You ever talk to somebody, their life's out of order, but you try to tell them the scriptures, I know. I read that one. Oh yeah, I know. And they know. But their life is a mess. Like, no, you don't know. There's something missing. You know why? Because they know just like the Pharisees did. They know the text. They just don't know the one the text is pointing to. And so how you know the one the text is pointing to, and there is no other way as someone who has access to His Word, other than the miracles God does in the Middle East and other things that brings others to Him. You take His Word and you read it. But you take it in and you apply it. This is what it means to let the Word of God flow from you, to be filled, overflowing, that living water that flows through your life. So you take it in, and rather than trying to memorize, okay, Romans this says this, that's okay. Scripture memorization is fine, but it's not the most important thing. It's better to take that Romans scripture and go, how do I apply that? What should I do? How can I let it not go in here, but how can I let it pass through to here, filter through my heart, and come out in some action or activity? How can I do that? How do I apply that to my life in the situation that I'm in? Then the scriptures come alive. Then you find yourself walking with Jesus. Have you ever known someone that you admired? Someone that you look to, you admire, you hang out with, you get to know them. So you see how they respond, how they treat their family, what shows they do and don't watch. You kind of learn a lot about them by walking with them, right? And so later on in your life, maybe they move or whatever happens, you adopt some of that. You go, hey, my friend used to do this. Hey, my friend handled it this way. You know, that was pretty smart, pretty wise. So you adopt it. That's exactly what it means for us to walk with Christ. We don't get to walk with Him. He wasn't here in our time. So the way we learn the same exact stuff is we read the scriptures. We read the scriptures and we go, oh, this is what Jesus did. Oh, this is what Jesus was about. Oh, this is what Jesus prioritized. Oh, this is how Jesus handled things. And we get to know Him so that when we're living in our life, we can go, okay, this is what Jesus would have done. Now, here's the added advantage. Jesus said, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. So these things that are contrary to your nature, as you learn them and what to do, I'm going to bring them to your memory so you remember them, and I'm going to enable you to do them. That means every believer is without excuse when it comes to being able to follow the Lord. Perfectly? No, because we have flesh, but we're able to get right back up, be cleansed, confess our sin to the Lord, walk without misery and guilt and all of that stuff, and we continue to walk in the Lord to do things His way. And we are encouraged by that. We're inspired by that. Man, oh, God loves me so much. We're also humbled by it. We don't become rule makers because we know, you know what, I have failed too, so I understand. But I can tell you this, and this isn't being legalistic. You need to get back up and you need to keep walking. That's not legalism. That's helping you. Legalism is, stop wearing the hat, do this, do this, do that, do that, do that. Jump this high, you know, all of that stuff. So if you want to walk with the Lord, you got to get in His Word. If you really want to walk with the Lord, you have to get in His Word. And I can't tell you what rules to follow. That's not my job. I don't want to do it. But I can tell you this, to have a relationship with Christ, you need to get in His Word and spend time with Him. That's the only solution. That's the only way you can walk with Him. It's the only way. Getting to know Him more. Then you go live life. Some things happen. You go, I don't know how to handle that one. Then you go back and you're reading the Word again. And He goes, oh, remember that situation? This applies. You go, oh, wow, that makes sense now. Next time that happens, I'm going to deal with it that way. And you're growing and you're learning. So read the Scriptures. Read them for yourself. You need quiet time, like a staff meeting. You know, if you go to any staff meetings, one thing you should get from a staff meeting are action items. If you don't get any action items, that was just a briefing. You don't need that. So action items. But if you have a meeting and you never do the action items and you just kind of carry them over every time, that's a waste of time too. Nothing's getting done. So you're supposed to do the action items. Well, every morning we're supposed to have a staff meeting with the Lord. We're not equal. We're not peers. He's the Lord. He's the commander. And we come to Him. At the end of the day, it's too late. You can't go, Lord, what should I have done today? Well, it's a little late for that. But first thing in the morning, getting our heart right, we can go, Lord, what do you got for me? And here's what we do. We come with a plate that's already filled. Oh, Lord, bless this plate of mine, which is filled, Lord. Oh, help me do it all. But here's how He wants us to pray. Give me the plate. Oh, just bless the plate, Lord. Give me the plate. And He takes the plate. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do. And He starts to share with us and tell us and lead us. Get our heart in the right place. You got to do that if you're going to be able to walk with the Lord. But not only that, if you have a family, you got to pray with them. You got to go to the Lord with them. I see a lot of independent contractors, families. Mom or the wife, she has her relationship with the Lord. Well, Lord's telling me this. Lord's telling me this. Lord's got me doing this. Got me doing this. The husband, he's got his own. Oh, Lord's got me doing this. And they don't even agree. They don't agree with each other. They're doing different things. It's like they're not married. They're just two individuals who've signed the contract and just kind of do their own thing. But God wants the family to be together, growing together. We have a world that is fighting that. A school system that is saying, they're not yours. When they're here, they're ours. We will teach them. We will pour into them. We will tell them. We'll give them whatever we want to give them. And you have no right to say so. So there's a pulling away of the family that God established. Families should be close. Families should love each other. They should spend time together in prayer, seeking God's will, not only for the individuals in the family, but for them as a collective group, as a family. That's why all of these things exist. That's why the Scriptures make so much sense as you walk with the Lord. So, why should I believe? Because of what others have declared. There's testimonies throughout history. Because of what Jesus has done in your life personally and the lives of others. Because of what God has decreed. Because what God says does go. And because of what the Scriptures disclose to us, to know Him is to love Him. And you cannot know Him unless you read His Word.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in.